Good morning. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock, and I'm Gene Purcell. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm in for Joy Cardine today. If you want to get a conversation started in Wisconsin, it's pretty easy to do just by muttering something about your property tax bill or your income tax, and sooner or later, that discussion will turn down the road to the state's reputation as a place with high taxes. Todd Berry is our guest this hour. Earlier this week, in an op-ed piece published in the Wisconsin State Journal, Berry, who is president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, detailed how the state's ranking in taxes can be explained in a variety of ways. And all of that can be confusing to many taxpayers who just know that they, personally, pay too much. So what do you think of Wisconsin's tax ranking? What is it, really? Are we number one? Are we number 10? Are we lower than that? You think taxes in the state are high compared to some of our neighboring states? Or are the taxes we owe just the price we pay for living in a high-service state? Does it matter to you what the state's ranking is? Call with your comments and questions. Our toll-free number is 800-642-1234. And if you're calling from the Madison area, we have a local number for you. That is 263-1890. You can also join the discussion by email, and that address is talk@wpr.org. Todd Berry, good morning. Welcome to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, good morning. It's good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you. Well, first of all, I want to start with the obvious. When you work for the Wisconsin Alliance of Taxpayers, people are always asking you about Wisconsin's tax ranking, huh?
Yeah, it's probably what our researchers get called about more than anything, and there's a lot of confusion about it. And our mission as an organization is try to teach and educate the public and the press about government and how it works and how it's funded. So we get the calls.
I'll bet you do. It's kind of a hazard of being in the business you're in. Traditionally, let's talk about what's the answer that you've been giving for the past couple of years, and then let's fast forward to what the answer is now.
Yeah. The figures that I think most tax researchers and academics use come from the U.S. Census, and they look at all the state and local taxes combined, and then they compare those either to income, personal income, or to population and do a per capita calculation. And the answer for the most recent year that the census had, which was 2004 until just the last few weeks, was at least in terms of taxes alone, we were sixth. And if you included various fees and charges, we were eighth. And you can ratchet the rankings down somewhat if you start including things that aren't taxes or fees but are other ways government gets money.
And traditionally, in terms of Wisconsin's reputation, how does number six and number eight fare?
Well, we've actually been higher. In the mid-90s, we were as high as three, and we've been slowly but surely ratcheting that ranking down. And as we're going to talk about in a minute, I think the latest shows us dropping 2 point notches from sixth to eighth. And part of that can be because our tax burden isn't growing or is falling. And another reason may be that we're growing our population or our income base. And another reason may be that other states are increasing taxes more. So there's a lot of things that can explain why you would move up and down in the rank.
And let's talk about where we are right now. So we're dropping a bit.
Right. The Census Bureau, I think, which is frustrating to those of us that do this kind of work, is always a couple years behind. And the new figures are for the fiscal year 2005. And the Census put those up on the web in May. And if you take those numbers and crunch them against population and income, we were eighth relative to income and 15th if you do it on a population basis.
So 15th, that's actually sounds to me like a pretty substantial drop.
Well, we were always lower per capita, I think we had been about 12th. So on a per capita basis, we went from 12th to 15th, on an income basis from 6th to 8th. And the reason those two number rankings vary is simply because Wisconsin is not a high-income state. We're not a poor state, but historically our incomes have been somewhat below the average.
And this has to be, you know, when we're talking about these numbers like this, it is a lot different than listening to a politician, talking on the floor of the legislature or talking during a campaign season. And it's always a lot simpler in the campaign ads or when you're listening to the speeches. You know, we're number three, we're number one. They're high. And is it really this complex or is it really that simple as they make it?
Well, the figures that we use and that other researchers use aren't that complex, really. The calculations are fairly simple, and the census data are reasonably good. The problem is that the advocates, the partisans, regardless of philosophy, start picking and choosing parts of the numbers that make the point they want to make. We find that a lot when we put out data, that we'll find our data are quoted from a variety of places on the political spectrum. And as you said, the goal of someone who's running for office or is in office is to attract support and motivate people, and they do that by keeping it simple and sweet and sometimes not entirely true.
I'm not even going to make a comment on that. Todd Barry is our guest right now. He is president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, and we're talking about some new figures that are out regarding Wisconsin's tax ranking and how it compares to other states around the country. I'm Gene Purcell in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The time is 18 minutes past 6 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up after 7, the recent presidential debate showed that George Bush has few supporters left among the Republican candidates. After 7, we'll be taking a look at why many do continue to stand by our commander-in-chief. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. This hour, we are talking about Wisconsin's tax rankings, tax standings, however you want to phrase it, how Wisconsin compares to other states around the country. Todd Barry is our guest. He is the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, and we're going through some of the various numbers to see how the state fares when you compare it to the others around it, the others around the country. We'd like to hear from you on this. How do you think Wisconsin ranks in terms of its tax burden? 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number. If you're calling from the Madison area, our local number is 263-1890. 263-1890. Todd Barry, we were talking about some of the new numbers that were out, and I imagine what the next question you normally get is, can you divine any sort of trend from this?
Well, there is a slight trend over the last 10 years that Wisconsin state and local taxes as a share of income have been slightly ratcheting down. They'll bump up, bump down, but the trend has been slightly down. On a per capita basis, the trend is up. We are paying more taxes per person, but our incomes are at times outpacing the growth in taxes, and that's why relative to income, our burden can be ratcheting down a little bit. And that's an important distinction because in a state like Minnesota, which is a generally conceded to be a high-tax state or a reasonably high-tax state, their incomes have been growing so fast compared to ours that when you do rankings based on income, Minnesota has been dropping quite dramatically.
Now, as you take a look at Wisconsin's tax ranking and work on stories like this, I'd like to go back and talk a little bit about some of those factors you talked about, what might be happening in other states, the population growing and so on. Let's go down the list one at a time and talk about each of those particular issues and what might be happening here in the state.
Well, income would be the first thing to talk about, mm-hmm. I suppose. And most people that do tax rankings in Wisconsin will tend to use income as the basis of comparison, and the reason is because that's what we pay taxes with. And Wisconsin's per capita incomes have tended to be, over recent decades, 2, 3, 4% less than the nation, sometimes lower during a recession, but that's generally been where we're at. And so when you're compared to a state like Minnesota, which used to have income levels similar to ours, but due to their, well, lots of reasons, but partly mm-hmm. their technology-based economy, their incomes have really accelerated in the last 20 years. So that is one thing that can affect your ranking, just that some states' incomes are growing faster or slower than others.
And that income has a number of factors. I mean, more income, of course, means more taxes, but lower income would mean a higher burden on individuals. Am I tracking that right?
Sure. I mean, for any, if you had to pay $100 in taxes and your income was low, that would represent a higher share of your income than if your income was very high. And that's one reason why a lot of people that do this kind of work look at income as the basis of comparison, because the feeling is, well, you pay taxes out of income, and if you have more of an ability to pay, then the burden isn't as heavy.
Another factor we talked about was the issue of population within the state,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's growing or not. And I imagine it's not just pure numbers we're talking about there. It's also who it is, that which elements of the population are growing, particularly when you get back to the income question.
Right. This is a very important issue for Wisconsin, and it's not just about taxes here. It's so fundamental to so many things that are going on in the state. Wisconsin's population is growing, but growing slowly, much slower than the rest of the country, and who makes up our population is on the verge and is beginning to change fairly dramatically. We are aging as a state. The share of the population that will be seniors, retirees, is going to double over the next couple decades. And as we're seeing in our schools right now, a fairly significant majority of our schools around the state are losing in enrollment. And as that passes through the next 10 to 15 years, our population of the workforce, the people that are working and paying the taxes, is going to be pretty stagnant, while the school-age population and the seniors the seniors are going to explode, and the school-age population is going to be fairly flat.
Yeah, and this is one of those trends that, people are always talking about, and I think there's a certain amount of denial going on, particularly in my case, where I'm never going to get any older. But it's also sort of insidious, because it's hard for people to think that far ahead and start thinking about some of those trends and how they will have those sorts of impacts.
Right. We did a report on this a couple years ago that tried to look at these population trends, and the reason we did it is because state leaders, civic, business, elected, legislator, governor, whatever, simply weren't focusing on this. And when you don't have a workforce that's growing, that's going to have implications for the economy. When you have a senior population that's going to boom, that has an implication for government services. And if I could pick one issue that public leaders in the state should be focusing on, it would be the whole change in demographics, because it's so big and it affects everything.
And finally, the last element is what other states are doing. And as someone who lived on the border for many years, I used to live right across from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You were always looking to see what the other, and you were always pretty cognizant of it, too. I mean, we always knew what the property tax situation was and, what they were paying for license fees and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Minnesota is often trotted out as an example. And the funny thing is that there is an organization similar to ours in Minnesota that does tax research, and they will report the same thing going on, only in reverse, that they're watching us. And in some cases, the grass is always greener, no matter where you live. But it's true. What goes on in other states can have a big effect on these rankings if there's been a change in the state's population or its politics or whatever. Taxes can stop growing or declining, or they can start to accelerate. And we've seen some really interesting changes in states around the country. Just an example or two, Ohio, I think traditionally thought of as a moderate to low tax state, and has really surged into the upper tier in recent years. Iowa, on the other hand, used to be a top 10 state and is now in the bottom half in the country. And then you have this strange phenomenon of Minnesota, where their taxes remain high, but their economy is moving at such a clip that they can generate the money to pay for it.
Let's take time out for a quick call before our break and go to Jerry, who looks like he's in Wyola. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My
sure.
question is about retirement income in Wisconsin, where Wisconsin ranks with how they tax retirement income. And my understanding is that some surrounding states, Illinois, for example, do not tax retirement income. And I'm a part-time resident in Wisconsin, but I'm a full-time resident in Illinois, and that tax is one of the questions that I have about where I'm going to live.
Sure. And this is one we hear often. The Wisconsin law historically was to tax various kinds of retirement income and Social Security income on the income tax, if you go back. Over time, there's been an evolution toward not taxing some of that income. We still tax retirement income, but we are in the process of excluding Social Security income entirely from taxation. We had partially excluded it before, and there are regularly proposals in the legislature to expand this to retirement income. So it's an issue that you're paying attention to, and one that elected officials at the state level are too.
And at the end of the day, one of the big questions that people ask is, you know, is the quality of life that we enjoy here in Wisconsin worth that price we pay in taxes? And is there a way that the Alliance can measure that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one we get all the time. A lot of people who are Wisconsin natives and have lived here a long time feel the quality of life is good, high. Our schools are good. Our universities are pretty good, trees, forest, clean environment, and so forth. And they say, you know, I know I'm paying more, in particularly in property income taxes, but I think it's worth it. The other side you'll get sometimes is people from other states that move here will say, you know, really, your schools and colleges and universities and roads and environment aren't too much different than ours. And they'll say, I came from Ohio or Kentucky or, you know, some state in the upper Midwest. And they'll say, but I pay less in taxes. And that, of course, will spark the whole debate. And ultimately, this issue is a very personal one.
And we'll have to hold it there, yeah. I'm afraid, and we'll come back and pick up on quality of life. We're talking taxes this hour with Todd Berry from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance here on WPR. It's 25 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm here for Joy Cardine this week. This hour, we are talking about taxes with Todd Berry from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. And we're going to get back to callers in just a second. We do have some who'd like to get in. But Todd Berry, before the break, we were talking about the quality of life issue and the two sides of the coin that you often face here in Wisconsin, or when you're trying to explain the situation to folks who may be new to the state. And those two sides, you know, high taxes pay for a lot of things. And the other side of it, of course, is people come here occasionally, and what they see is very similar to where they came from.
Yeah, that pretty much encapsulates the debate. And this is further complicated by the fact that we don't always have a good sense of what we really are paying. You know, this tax rank debate is politically popular, and you know, folks like myself and our researchers spend a lot of time on it. But most people are dealing with this at a sort of a gut level, at a how do I feel about it level, and the things that motivate them in Wisconsin will be property taxes and income taxes. And conversely, in other states, they may have lower property taxes, maybe even no income tax, but they may be paying a very high sales tax, and they don't even stop to think about that. So at a gut level, these comparisons can become rather different, too.
And let's find out what some listeners think. Gene joins us now, and he is in Madison. Hi, Gene.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I guess those two sides of the equations, when you're publishing all those reports, do you then mention things such as what our per capita spending is on education and what our, say, what the ranking is as far as ACT tests and whatever? Because really, when you talk about taxes just as taxes, you have to talk about where the money came from and then what you got for the services. I've been in southern states. I've seen that the property tax that people pay is perhaps one-fifth of what you might pay in Wisconsin. But I've also then had the friends say, yeah, but we never send our kids to the public schools because, well, you just don't do it. And I really do think people have to start thinking about, do you want to live in a state where you can't afford to send your children to public schools because they are poor by national standards? So when you're making comparisons of states, don't you have an obligation also of then trying to rank other indexes showing per capita expenditure on roads, showing per capita expenditure on education, and showing satisfaction levels individuals might have on that to try to get a more fuller picture of whether that's true or not? You mentioned many times in this that people come in from other states and they say, I think our state's education is as good as any. Is that based on any knowledge? Do they really know that maybe they're education test rates are a lot lower than a Wisconsin, or am I completely wrong in that assessment?
Well, let's find out. Todd Berry, where's Gene falling in all that?
There's a couple things in there, satisfaction levels, spending levels, and so forth, but yeah. That the core of the question was reporting on the spending side of the equation, and yes, when we update these kinds of figures based on the census data, The census data include not only information on taxes and fees, but also what we spend on higher education, K-12 education, transportation, and so forth. And what we do then is we're working on it right now, we will put out a major document that will summarize all these factors, both on the tax side and on the spending side, and also provide a little historical information so you get some sense of, you know, whether we're going up or down, and then also some comparative information with other states. So, that kind of information I think is useful, and we when we publish this stuff in its entirety, we show the whole range of information. information.
And without those numbers, really without that context, they would just be numbers.
That's right. The caller also talked about comparisons with other states, and I have to say that I think in Wisconsin we're a little dated in terms of how we view particularly the South and the Southeast. Not all of those states are low-tax states anymore, and also some of those states have made substantial investment, public investments, in certain sectors that we think we do pretty well on. Georgia has really moved in terms of investment in higher ed, and in fact, people in the university system in Wisconsin often cite Georgia as a case study of what we should emulate. Very much the same in North Carolina and Virginia. When you look at rankings of public universities, generally speaking, the University of Virginia, the University of North Carolina, will be up there or even ahead of UW-Madison. So, again, it depends very much on the state and the particular service, as it always does.
800-642-1234 is the toll-free number if you'd like to join in. In Madison, the local number is 263-1890. And you can also participate in email at talk@wpr.org. Let's come back to Madison now, and Mike is with us. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Could you comment about the role of the Department of Corrections on budget in terms of other states? I know Minnesota has about one-fourth the number of people incarcerated as Wisconsin, 6,000-7,000 versus 23,000-24,000. And Minnesota used to be about the same as Wisconsin 25 years ago. So what happened in Wisconsin that we developed this huge budgetary load that I think is entirely different than our surrounding states?
Yeah.
We spend so much money on incarcerating people.
Well, we've got to be a little careful about here separating what we spend and what the trend line is, because there's a couple things going on. You are absolutely right. If you go back 10, 20, 30 years, the share of the state budget that was going to corrections here was pretty small, 1% or so. And so when you looked at other states, we were really low in terms of what we were spending on corrections relative to other things in the state budget. During the 90s, and there were a lot of things going on, there were some sensational crimes that made the news in Wisconsin that created public anxiety. There was also a lot of political rhetoric. And there also, what drives crime rates is largely the male population below the age of 24. And that was surging in the early 90s, is no longer. For whatever reason, because of all those reasons, the share of the state budget that was going to corrections started to grow. And we're now up in the 6, 7, 8% range, which isn't now too atypical compared to some other states. But what went on in the 90s was our growth rates off a very low base were very, very high. And corrections was growing faster than just about any part of the state budget. Now, since about 2000, 2001, that has plateaued. We're now up at that new higher level in terms of the share of the budget. But it's not continuing to eat away at a larger and larger part of the budget. Medicaid and school aids tend to be the ones long-term that are doing that. But corrections did its run and now seems to be plateauing. And one thing that works in our favor now, of course, is that the youth population has flattened and is declining.
You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking taxes this hour with Todd Berry from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. Earlier this week, he published an op-ed in the Wisconsin State Journal, and it was titled Tax Rank Confusion Clarified. I don't know if we've clarified anything, but we're trying to answer as many questions as we can. If you've got a question or if you've got a comment, Here's the toll-free number that you can call. It is 800-642-1234. If you're calling from the Madison area, it is 263-1890. I'm Gene Purcell. I'm filling in for Joy Cardine this week, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 9 this morning. Hundreds of Turkish soldiers crossed into Kurdish-controlled northern Iraq this week, with more poised at the border. After 9, Kathleen Dunn and her guest discussed the conflict between Turkey and the separatist Kurdish Workers' Party. That's coming up after 9 this morning here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. For this hour, we're continuing our discussion of Wisconsin's tax ranking. Our guest is Todd Berry, the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Let's get back to the phones right now, and Tom joins us from Mequon. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, Gene. Interesting show. I think there's a political element to this, too. I agree with the last caller that was on. I think a lot of the state's power has been in Republican hands, in that they like to show that they're tough on crime. So they make all these laws, and it puts more people into the jails and prisons, and it makes more work, and that there has to be more judges and more lawyers, more police, more jailers. And I would point to a law that's in the Senate right now where they want to make it easier for employers to fire somebody who may have a good work record and have not reoffended for years and years, but they want to make it so these people can be fired for no cause if they have a first or second degree on their record. And that puts those people at risk to reoffend and to be back out in the prison population because they cannot find a job anymore because they've got this on their record. And it seems to me that the Republican Party is has a lot of cruel laws that makes people stay in jail longer than they should, and is increasing the tax burden on people because there's such a need for so many jails and prisons.
All right, Tom, thanks for the comments. And Todd Berry, you know, it's impossible really to separate politics out of this discussion, isn't it?
It really is, and the reason it gets confusing is because people then, as I said earlier, pick and choose the facts they want to use to make their point. I'll try to steer clear of the partisan debate that goes on over crime. My experience is that folks on both sides of the aisle will, on a particular issue, if they think it's hot and popular, try to, you know, score a few points or make a few headlines. So we'll leave it at that.
We had an email here from Mike from Castle Rock. He had a two-part question. One of those had to do with the state debt and the role that this plays in Wisconsin's tax ranking. And, you know, legally, I guess Wisconsin can't carry a debt, but, it does bond for projects and things of that nature. So where does that fit into the equation?
Yeah. That's a really important point, and it's one where we have really changed over the last 20 to 30 years. Historically, when you looked at debt levels, public debt in Wisconsin, we tended to be on the low end. But for a variety of reasons, a surge of school building during the 90s, some substantial state budget deficit kinds of problems over the last 10 years, we are no longer a below average debt state. In fact, I was looking at the state's official financial reports yesterday, and just in the last 4 to 5 years, from 2002 to 2006, the amount of bonding that the state government is carrying has risen almost 120%. So we've gone from about $4 billion to about $9 billion, and you have to pay off that debt. So debt service becomes a larger part of your budget. One of the reasons the state has problems in the transportation area is because we have been issuing more and more highway bonds, and the debt service on those is becoming a larger and larger part of what our gas taxes go for.
And the implications of that, I guess, are familiar to anybody who's been who pays any sort of attention to either their personal finances or what's going on at the federal level or anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I think as Wisconsinites, we're conflicted by this because we are, like all Americans, part of a fairly credit card society. We do tend to run up the debt. On the other hand, in Wisconsin, a lot of us are still sort of crusty folk of Yankee or German or Norwegian heritage, and we just didn't believe in spending money that we didn't have. And so we are conflicted by that, and I think that's one reason you get questions like the callers about debt is we are carrying more debt in Wisconsin. It does make a number of us uncomfortable.
And the other question, Mike had a two-part question, the first regarding debt. The second had to do with the whole issue of fees, because particularly around election time and actually during budget time right now, there's that question of is it a fee or is it a tax? Does it walk like a duck and so on? And, you know, what role are fees? You know, first of all, is a fee a tax? And what mm-hmm. role does that play in our tax ranking?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's a big debate right now, and when the state is working on its budget, I perhaps tend to part company with a number of legislators on this because I think that there is a difference between taxes and fees. In that, for the most part, a tax is something certainly in the case of property taxes, income taxes, sales taxes, that you don't have much of a choice about paying. And pretty much everybody pays it. There are a number of fees, for instance, college tuition or in Illinois, toll roads, that you have some choice about paying. You can pick the college you want to go to some degree based on tuition. You can choose the route you want to drive to not pay tolls. You could take public transit, you know, other things like that. So I think you can make a distinction between a tax as something that's compulsory and pretty broad, and a fee which is a little more optional and more tied to the user. That said, once you get into this debate, a lot of people and the politicians say, well, it ends up going to the same place. We're paying for government, whether it's a fee or a tax. And we have been, because our college tuitions tend to be low and because we don't have toll roads, we have tended to be a state that was somewhat below average on fees. And so one of the reasons we tend to be a higher tax state is we don't get a lot of money from the federal government, which forces us to use our own tax system more. We don't tend to be a high fee state, which tends to mean that we use taxes more. So part of our tax burden is due to political consequences in Washington and choices we've made at home, and other states make different choices.
Got another email here from, looks like Tim, who is from Waukesha County. His question gets back to the whole issue of politics, and he wants to know whether you've got any empirical evidence that the longer a legislator stays in office, that the more likely they tend to spend. Do you do studies like that?
No, we don't, but and I don't know if I should even wade into that one. Certainly the longer one is in office, the more one becomes familiar with the inner workings of government and who the players are and so forth. And particularly in Wisconsin, where we have a full-time legislature, it will tend to affect the way a lawmaker, I think, will approach policy over time. Because they just are spending all their time, you know, on capital work, state work, and so forth. They're not going home to a job at home, perhaps. And all of these things will affect your perspective and probably affect your spending decisions.
Now let's turn to a news story. Earlier this week, we had State Representative Robin Voss on this program, and he was talking about a proposal he had to cut the income tax by 1%. And I see in this morning's newspaper that he plans to look for a vote on that, perhaps yet today.
Mm-hmm.
A 1% cut in the income tax, well, that could drop Wisconsin's ranking pretty substantially. But what do you think the future of that might be?
Well, practically speaking, what the state has faced for the last 5 to 10 years is structural budget deficits and, in terms of its financial reporting, real deficits. And so that always makes it hard because you aren't the folks that want to increase commitments to some programs are finding they can't do that, and folks that would like to cut taxes find they can't do that. As I understand the proposal, it's a 1% reduction in the rates, which would really be pretty minor. You know, 1% of our top rate, 6.75, would be a pretty slight downtick. So it probably wouldn't affect our rankings very much.
Well, Todd Berry, thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Well, thank you. All of this kind of background information, by the way, is on our website at wistax.org. If people tend to read better than they listen, they can get the information there.
Got it. Wistax.org.
Right.
Todd Berry, thanks again.
Thank you.
President of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, and we've been talking for the past hour about Wisconsin's tax ranking in the scheme of things. He had an op-ed piece published in the Wisconsin State Journal earlier this week about that ranking and what some of those numbers mean. If you'd like a copy of the program, you can call the radio store. You can also listen to our programs. They are archived online, and they are free. Just go to WPR.org, and you can listen on your computer. The program this morning was produced by Christina Taylor and Cheryl Gasser, and we had on-air production from Christina Taylor. I'm Gene Purcell, in for Joy Cardine, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.